It's one that many of us have heard. Because of its familiarity, I'm going to do something a little different with the reading of our text. I'm going to read three verses in the beginning. When you found your place, you can rise to your feet if you would like. But I'm going to read three verses in the very beginning, and then I'm going to read just sections of other verses as we look at Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse number 11. The Bible says to us, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father," I want you to get that word, "father," there it is again, "give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now that is the foundation of this story. You noticed the key word, I hope you did. It is father, but notice it again in an intermittent way here. Beginning in verse number 17, how many hired servants of my father? And you skip now to 18. "I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father." He arose and came to his father when he was yet a great way off. His father, verse 21, "and the son said to his father," verse 22, "but the father," and if I counted accurately, we notice the mention of the son but six times, in contrast to the mention of the father directly nine times. So in this, we can understand the significance of the father in this story. And sometimes we focus so much on the son, but the significance of what we see here is the father. So therefore, on this Father's Day, I want to speak to you on this theme, this thought. Though I don't know how to move forward, I choose to be an unstoppable father. I don't know how to move forward. I choose to be an unstoppable father. Spirit of God, thank you for your visitation with your people on this Sunday morning, this Father's Day. How thankful and grateful. Now, Lord, feed your people as we stand here willing to feast from the bread of life. Help us today draw sinners to the Savior. Drive your thought home to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated as we consider this thought of an unstoppable Father on this Father's Day. There is no doubt that I'm speaking to many fathers here this morning. You feel like you are totally helpless. You feel like you are at your wit's end. You feel like you see no way that you're going to move forward because of the circumstances that are going on in your home, with your family, with your children. As your children have grown older, he or she, that child, they've grown sassy. They've grown rebellious. They've grown just downright hateful. Maybe they've grown distant. They're just not the same child they used to be. You don't know how to help them anymore. Their words and their actions, they bring tears of hurt and pain and anger even to you and their mother's eyes. You don't know how to move forward as they have grown older. They've gotten bigger. They've gotten stronger to the point that you don't know how you can biblically discipline them anymore. You don't know how to move forward as they have become of a certain age. They feel like they've got this thing of life all figured out. And so therefore they prematurely and in many cases rebelliously will leave the safe hold of the home of a godly mom and dad. And you simply don't know how that you're going to move forward. See, these things are tough on an adult parent, a Christian parent, a godly parent. They're hard on us. You know why? It's tough on us because we as Christian parents, we're fixers, aren't we? We want to put our hand on the problem and we want to correct the problem our way. I would submit to our hearts this morning, though, that the greatest mistake that we will ever make is trying to correct a problem that our children have our way. Why? Because God has got a better way. God has got a perfect way. I'm going to skip over a lot of the things having to do with the son in this story today because I think that there are some prevalent things we can learn about the father in it that will help us as we as fathers continue to try to steer our children, our grandchildren, parents in general, in the ways and the truths of God. As we consider this thought of, though I don't know how to move forward, I choose to be an unstoppable father. Consider, first of all, with this father, how that we see that he was a father with a shattered heart. A father with a shattered heart. Now, if you know anything about this story, you know a little bit about what I'm talking about when I refer to a father with a shattered heart. We just referred a little bit to it just a moment ago in our introduction, but I want us to look at it in the biblical light that is given to us here of this father and his shattered heart and how it all really started and how it was a heart of failure. A heart of failure. If you look in verse number 11, the Bible says a certain man, he had two sons. You know the story here. That youngest, he came to him and he said, "Hey, Dad, I want you to give me what's coming to me, my inheritance." And then the father, he actually did it. The Bible says he divided unto them his living. As we will learn, as we study, and as you already know from this story, this son that we see given here, he would have been treated very, very well. This would have been a son that would have lacked for nothing. He would have never lacked for food to eat, a roof over his head, clothes to wear, a secure future even in the family business in years to come. Friends, he had it all. Everything at his disposal. He had been treated good. His father was good to him in every way. But you have to consider this story that though he was good to him, his father evidently had some rules. It was some rules that his father enforced with his son. Can I just state right now, that is one of the marks of a godly parent, is if you have some spiritual rules that you not just write them on the wall and say these are the rules, and then not pay any attention to them at all. But no, you enforce those rules with your children, teaching them the truth of God. You see, this son was doubtless totally fed up with all the rules. He didn't want anything to do with it anymore. He didn't want anything to do with his father's guidelines, his guidance, or his God. And so therefore, he said, "I'm going to go out and I'm going to do it my own way." So the construction of the verse, when we read it, we can see that his father, concerning these rules, he finally, the son came to him and he in essence said, he came to him and said, hey, Dad, hey, Pops, hey, Father, I just want you to know that I think it's time for me to go. I think it's time for me to spread my wings. I think it's time for you to give me the inheritance that I will one day have coming to me." He is in essence saying, "Let's go ahead and act like you're dead." Do you understand what he's saying there? This son is coming to his father and he is saying, "Dad, to me, you are as good as dead. In other words, you don't mean anything to me anymore." Can you try to imagine with me on this Father's Day Sunday morning how that would have shattered the heart of a father that had been good to his son, given him everything, treated him so well, taught him right, taught him righteousness, taught him reasonable things, but just because he had some rules about him, his son decided he was going to shatter his heart, take everything he could, and run the other direction. A son who can make such a cold-hearted statement as this one did in the Word of God, it didn't happen that way just overnight. Do you know that? There was a progression of events that happened in this individual's life that brought him to the point to say, "Dad, though you've been so good to me, you're still just as good as dead to me. I want nothing else to do with you. I'm finished with it. I'm finished with you in every way." Can you imagine how this father watched all of these things develop? He could see that something wasn't right. He could see that there was something that was amiss. He could see that there were things that was going on in the life and in the heart of his son that were frustrating to him. And then as the story continued to develop, and as his son did finally leave, he felt like a total failure. What did I do wrong to cause all of this? As we continue to grow and see our children go, and we consider all of the things that they are dealing with and all of the things that they are going through as they grow, as they develop, or maybe even as they are influenced in their own opinions and in their own direction and the way that they want to go. And as they even may be downright rebellious and rebel against the things that you and I have always taught them, there are parents that are just struggling with that. I mean, you feel like a monumental, you feel like a miserable, you feel like an ultra, ultra failure in every way. There's parents here today, no doubt, that feel that way. You just feel like a total failure because of it. And this father's heart was shattered. It was a heart of failure that he failed, but it turned into a heart of farewell. For the Bible goes on to tell us as well here that not many days after, shortly after he had received his inheritance, not many days after, that the younger son gathered all together. And he took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with righteous living. The father did give his inheritance to him. He said, I will give it to you. I will let you have it. But the father would have never imagined in a million years that his son would have taken that inheritance. His son would have taken that inheritance and he would have taken every bit of it and he would have gone to the place. He would have gone to a spot, especially so far away from where he was supposed to be. And his son was going the total opposite direction. When we read these words, took unto him his journey into a far country, they are giving us the idea that he traveled abroad. He traveled abroad to a place that was a stranger, not only to him physically, but to him spiritually, following the gathering of his inheritance. I can just see his son as he has gotten it all in his hands. He's gone to his living quarters. He has sat down. He has spread it all out. Can't you see him counting it right now? Can't you see him mapping out his plan, trying to determine what his next move is going to be? And after he gets it all in his mind, after he has his plan all mapped out, figures out how much money he's got, can't you see him now going to his father saying, "Hey, Dad, it's time for me to spread my wings. Time for me to fly. Time for me to go my own way." The father was totally shocked by this. He says, "Oh, no, son, where are you going to go?" Son says, "Well, Dad, I just don't know for sure at this point. I'm thinking about going to Egypt, maybe thinking about going to Rome." Oh, the father would have stepped back and he would have said, "Oh, my goodness, son, why in the world would you go to those places? They're so far away. I'll not ever see you. But more importantly, son, these are places that do not believe. They do not live for, they do not worship the living God of heaven, the God that you know, the God that you serve." To which the son would have replied, "I know that, Dad. Matter of fact, Father, that's the exact reason why that I want to go, because I want to get away from everything that is in any way pertaining to your God. See, Dad, I'm tired of it. Nobody wants to go out and party with me and hang out with me because I'm too closely connected with your God. No girl ever wants to go out on a date with me because your God has too many rules. Your God does not know how to have any fun. So therefore, I'm going to go to a place where nobody knows me. I'm going to go to a spot where I can be myself." Won't it be a great day in every life when we realize that we are not our own? We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body, with your whole life. Won't you see the Father right now? His heart is totally shattered. He says, I can't believe this is happening. I've given you everything. I've done everything that I can for you." But then this son said, "I'm done, Dad. I'm going." And then the father said, "Oh, son, please don't leave this way. Please don't run out the door and leave me standing this way with a shattered heart and with tears of falling." See, the father understood that the premature and rebellious way that this son was leaving the home, he was in essence walking out of the sovereign will, of the safe haven of the will of God for his life. And therefore the father knew and the father realized there was a very good chance he may never see his beloved son again alive. He realized the danger that was involved. Children, can I just say this to you today? Your parents see danger in your path that you cannot see right now and that you do not understand. No doubt I'm talking to some parents on this Sunday morning, some moms and some dads. You have had a child, a son, or a daughter that has gone through this. They've come to the point to where they've just decided they don't need your guidelines, your guidance, or your God anymore. So in a premature and rebellious way, they make their decision. They're going to walk out into a world and they're going to go to a far spiritual country, live life their way. And there's moms and dads sitting here today that have a shattered heart. That's how this father was. He was a father with a shattered heart. But secondly, notice with me how that he was a father with a stable household. Now, this is interesting. A father with a stable household. Now, we've got to remember and follow me along the story here. The father, his heart had been shattered. He was discouraged. There was no doubt. He was even depressed. You see, it would have been very easy for this prodigal's father to have totally given up. I'm just not going to do anything anymore. I'm going to go to a dark room. I'm going to go hide under a rock. I'm not going to do anything anymore. I'm just going to let everything go. I'm just going to give up. But that's not at all what this father did. You know what he did? He kept on going. He kept pressing forward. Why did he keep pressing forward? It's because that he had other people in that household. He had some family in that household, perhaps a wife. He had another son, at least that we know of. He had other servants that were still counting on him. And though things had fallen apart, though things were difficult, he could not just give up. He had to press on. He had to keep doing his job as a godly father, a godly leader of the home. And as the story develops, we learn that his work ethic had a bigger impact on his son, that prodigal boy that had left home, than what he had originally ever thought. We look at this story right here and we can realize that it was a household of riches. He had a stable household of riches. Now, there's no way that I can get into all the details of this. There's so much in these verses that are about to follow. There's no way that I can get into all of the details. The bottom line is, as he continued, the boy went out from the father's house in the fold there. As he went out, the following verses let us know his life literally fell apart. Everything that he had had, that God had given to him through a good dad, he had totally squandered. He had totally wasted. It's been said of our children that they go through four stages. The first, they call us dada. Second, they call us daddy. Third, they'll call us dad. Fourth, they call us collect. Half of this congregation in here right now doesn't even know what collect means. I asked my daughter this week, do you know what a collect call is? What? I don't even know what a collect call is anymore. Collect call is when you don't have anything. You don't have the money left to even pick up the phone, put what used to be a quarter in a payphone, and to be able to call for help to somebody. A collect call means you're having to call somebody and the other person is having to pick up the bill for that call. That's how broke you really are. That's where this son was here. He had squandered. He had lost everything. He could barely even afford to get to a phone booth to even make a collect call had he had the ability to do that. You see, with every filthy job that he did, he was reminded of his title. He was reminded of the place that he had and the secure future in the father's house. With every bite of pig slop that he would eat, he was reminded of the spread that he always had at the father's house. With every night that he had to sleep in the slums and on the streets, he was reminded of that plush bed that he always had in the father's house. He came to the place, as verse number 17 lets us know, where he was totally broken by it. He had hit rock bottom in his life. He was broken by it. And he said, the Bible says that he came to himself. In other words, he came to his senses and he realized that the most foolish thing that he had ever done was leaving the safety and the riches, the security and the stability of the father's house. He had it all. The father had been good to him, but he walked away from it. Fathers, even though your children may have shattered your heart, I mean, they may have crushed you beyond measure, you need to maintain a house hold of stability to the very best of your ability. See, there wasn't only a household of riches, but it went even deeper. Not only a household of riches, but a household of respect. For he said right here in verse number 18, he said, I will arise and I will go to my father. He said, I'm going home. He said, I'm going back to a place where I had a dad that loved me and cared about me. Now, when we look at the first part of this story, and when we consider those words of that verse, we're thinking to ourselves, why in the world would this son go back to a place where there was all those rules, all those regulations, all that righteousness, that religious fanatic that he was? Why in the world would he go back to that place? I'll tell you exactly why he went back to that place, because he got out into a world where he realized that the Father's rules had a purpose. He realized that his rules and his righteousness, they weren't so all that bad. He saw the reason for it. He understood it. And you know what? He ultimately ended up respecting it. Parents, sometimes, oh, hear me now, sometimes our children have got to hit rock bottom out in the old world before they'll realize that there was a good and a godly mom and dad back home that really did care for them. Therefore, you must, hear me, you must maintain a diligence, you see, in making sure that your home is continually steadfast, that your home is steady, that your home is consistent, whether they are in it or not. One of the reasons I've learned through the years, our other preachers here could probably attest to this, one of the reasons that younger people will prematurely and rebelliously leave the safe haven and the home of their family and of their father is because of the unprovided for means by which they have. It is because of the unstable environment that they found themselves in. And they've grown up in their whole life. And they find themselves in that. They see a sloppy work ethic from a mom or from a dad. They see a home life that is so far from harmonious, so far from happy. The fact of the matter is, they get tired of living in that type of an atmosphere. They get tired of living in what could be impoverished circumstances when it doesn't have to be that way. They get tired of the bickering and all of the fighting. They get tired of seeing no desire in mom and dad for something better and something greater. And so they'll come to the place where they just wash their hands of the whole thing and they say, I can do better on my own. I can accomplish this on my own. I don't need them. I can do this thing on my own. So rebelliously, prematurely, they run out into a world and they try to do it their own way. Fathers, now listen. Understand what I'm saying. There comes a point when our children must leave home. That is God's plan. As hard as it is, that is God's plan. It is His will. But listen to me now. It must never be under the circumstances of an unstable household. Never. Or any hint at all of any form of ungodliness. But even if they do leave home in a bad way, maybe in a rebellious way, maybe in a premature way, in your opinion, you have got to keep working hard. You have got to keep being diligent. You've got to keep striving with all that you've got to create a stable household, not only for the fact that your wife and your other children and those that are in your household still need that and they still need you in their life, not only because of that, but you need to create a stable household that one day that son or that daughter is going to be able to come back to, and they're going to see, my goodness, this thing has stayed consistent. This thing has stayed real. Even when I wasn't here, maybe all those rules, that righteousness, those regulations, they weren't just about me. Maybe there was something bigger at hand. There was a God that was guiding them, and it will be then that they will realize that their mom and dad was real. Though this father's heart, it was totally shattered. He didn't know what to do. He was at his wit's end. He was discouraged. He was depressed. He was at a point in his life. He didn't know how to move forward at all. Many of us today may actually be in that spot. He kept working hard.
And as we read the story, we learn that the son respected the rules of his father. Respected the fact that he kept a stable household. We not only see that this was a father, he had a shattered heart. Do you have a shattered heart because of your children today? He was a father also that in spite of that, he had a stable household. He kept everything together. He didn't let it all fall apart. But he was also a father who had a steadfast hope in the middle of it all. A steadfast hope. Now you get this. The riches, they were important. There was some substance there. The riches, they were important to maintain a stable household. But it was the respect. It was the respect that ultimately made everything work out. The respect that brought everything back together. It was respect that the son had for the father that eventually brought him back home. But dads, listen to me. It was respect that the father had for God that made him have hope that one day his boy would actually come home. Imagine the process. Imagine the heartbreak of this father in the middle of it. And we see right here a couple of things in this process of hope and the steadfast hope that he had. We realize that it was a hope of waiting. He was having to wait. He was having to maintain hope. We just talked a little bit about this and how the father, he worked so hard to maintain a household that was stable. But it was for an extended amount of time. We don't know exactly how long that this son was gone. But we do know from the words of verse number 13 that he wasted his full inheritance with wicked, ungodly, righteous living, the Bible says. He wasted it all. In other words, he took that substantial inheritance and he blew through it. No doubt it was done in a hurry. And though we don't know how long that he was gone, when we take his travel time to and his travel time from a far country, I mean, he was walking. He didn't take a jet. He didn't take a train. He was actually going to be on foot, probably at least by the way, leaving that his father's home. And when we take all of that into consideration, this son was probably gone well on up over a year and into the year's worth of time. In other words, regardless of the time, hey, this father had to wait with a shattered heart. He had to wait for an extended period of time for his son to come home. Now listen to me, fathers. Listen to me. Many times the measure of our faith, many times the measure of our godliness, it is determined entirely by how long we're willing to wait through a shattered heart. When our heart is shattered, as I said, we get so upset and we go the other way and we react in our flesh and we just quit. But I am telling you, the measure of who we really are for God is how we wait, how that we maintain that hope. And we see right here that this father, he was patient through all of this time. He had a hope of patience, but he was busy in the middle of it because there was a hope of waiting as well. We see it in verse number 20. He says, but when he was a great way off, the son came to himself from the far country. He's made his way back home now. But when he was a great way off yet, his son was making his way on home. When he was a great way off, his father saw him. He saw him coming. Now, the father right here in the story, the Bible says he saw him. He saw him from a long, long distance away. He saw him from a place, no doubt, that would have been from a high, high tower somewhere. Probably risen high above the father's house, a watchtower. Now, in this day, it was very common for there to be watchtowers. Very common. And for enemies to come, or whatever the case may be, wild beasts, whatever it was, watchtowers are common. But in this case, just in case he did not have a watchtower, I can imagine one of the first things that this father did after his son rebelliously and prematurely left home. I'm sure that he directed Brother Joel, his chief servant. He said, I want you to go down to the Home Depot. I want you to buy the necessary materials that we can construct a watchtower here at the house that we will be able to watch because I have full expectations. I have total hope that one day my boy is going to come home. I want you to go and make every preparation possible because I want to be the very first one that sees him coming. And I believe this father, he would have lived every waking moment of his day, every waking moment of his life. He would have been up there. He would have been diligently waiting, diligently watching for that moment when his boy would actually come home. He had his own watchtower. That was the place he watched. That was the place that he waited. There's parents here, no doubt you don't have a watchtower raised above your house right now. You're not physically out there watching with your spyglass for that moment when your son or your daughter is going to come home. But I have to believe there's a whole lot of parents that have got a stump out in the woods somewhere. You've got a prayer closet at your house. You've got an altar in this very place. And these places are the very spot that is your watchtower. You're watching with your glasses. You're watching with a heart of hope. You're watching with that steadfast hope for that moment when that boy, that girl is going to come walking from a far distance back home out of a far spiritual country. And they're going to make their way back home into the place of safety, into the safe haven of the will of God again, because they've been so far out of the will of God. Hey, parents, when our children have shattered our hearts, when we're in a spot where we don't know how to move forward, when we're in a spot of discouragement and depression, we don't even want to get up and work another day, and we are about to give in and give up unto it all. Let me tell you today, you need to have some hope, because as long as there is a God on His throne in heaven, you can have hope that he or she one day is going to make their way back home out of the far spiritual country and into the safe haven of the will of God again. No matter what you do, don't ever let your shattered heart suppress your stable household, to suppress your steadfast hope, because you cling to the fact that one day you are going to be a father. You are going to be a parent that experiences a satisfying homecoming as well. We not only see in this story here that there was a father and he had a shattered heart, a father with a stable household, a father with a steadfast hope, but there was a father here. He had a satisfying homecoming. God met his needs because his father was unstoppable. You don't know why many of our needs, dads, aren't met with our families? Because we're just not unstoppable. We're letting anything and everything tear us down. Right here we see a dad, a father that was so right with God that he was unstoppable in this situation. He was unstoppable through a shattered heart by maintaining a stable household and by having a steadfast hope. And because of all that, God put all the pieces back together. I wonder how many of us today in our hearts would slip our hands up and say, I'm looking for God to put a few pieces together in my life. I'm looking for God to work in the heart of my child, my son, my daughter. I'm looking for God to do the impossible. I'm right now in my watchtower, and I am looking out, and I'm looking, I'm waiting, I'm watching for that moment that God will do the impossible. We look at this homecoming that was so satisfying to this father, and we can learn right here that it was a homecoming of compassion, wasn't it? It was a homecoming of compassion. You see that in the scripture. It's given to us in verse number 20. Look at it with me right here. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, the Bible said, here it is, he had compassion. He had compassion. Dad, do you have a heart of compassion? He had compassion. Bible says he ran, fell on his neck, and he kissed him. One day it was just like all the others. Old dad had made his way to that watchtower. Just like all the others, he'd climbed up in that watchtower. He was waiting and he was watching. And one day he saw something move way off in the distance. He didn't know what it was at first. Perhaps he thought it was just a wild animal, very common in their day. But as it got a little closer, he could tell it had two legs. He could tell that it was in the form of a man. and he had known this boy from birth. And as he got a little closer, he could tell a little bit about his body build. He could tell some things about his walk. Maybe it was defining to him. He could tell just a little bit about his features, this or that. As he got closer, he started thinking, my goodness, could it be? Could it be? After all this time that I've been waiting, all this time that I've been watching out here in the watchtower, is it possible? Could it actually be my boy that is making his way home? As he got closer, it became clear to him. Oh, he had his beard grown out. He had on dirty clothes. He probably lost a bunch of weight. He probably looked like he'd aged 10 years or so. But a daddy knows his boy. I see him right now shouting to the top of his lungs, his name, waving his arms and jumping up and down out there saying, hang on, boy, I'm coming to meet you. I bet the old boy nearly broke his neck trying to get out of that watchtower to try to run to meet his son. Now, I want you to stick that in your back pocket for just a minute because I'm going to circle right back around to it. For this wasn't only a homecoming of compassion. It was a homecoming of confession. Did you know that? It was a homecoming of confession. Look in verse number 21. The Bible says, the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. He's saying against God right here. But then he takes it a step further. Not only against God and heaven, but also in thy sight. Dad, I've done you wrong. I've sinned against you. Hey, son, daughter, when's the last time you told mom and dad I did you wrong? Is it possible the reason that you're not right with God, you're not seeing God intervene in your life, is because you've never had that moment where you went back and cleaned up some of your messes with people that shattered hearts that you had left behind? Maybe some of us today need to go back and say, I was wrong. I've not only sinned against God, I've sinned against you, Dad. He says right here, I have sinned against heaven. I have done you wrong, is what he is saying. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. All right, let's try to pull this all together quickly here. The homecoming of compassion, the homecoming of confession. Follow me just a little bit. Go back to verse number 20 again, where he says right here, his father saw him. He had compassion on him. He ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Did you notice what he did right there? I mean, that's compassion. He didn't run to him and condemn him because of everything that he had done, Dad. He showed him some grace. He didn't run to him and say, I told you so. You should have never done what I told you not to do. I warned you, I warned you, I warned you. He showed him grace. You know you're going to catch a whole lot of greater joy by showing grace than you will grief to people. There'll come a time when you get down to the nitty-gritty of stuff. I tell you, in these early moments, this old dad did everything right. He showed his son grace. But did you notice something very important right here? Did you notice that the compassion had already started in the heart of the father long before he ever climbed down? Matter of fact, long before he ever even saw his son coming, before he climbed down from that watchtower, the compassion had already started in the heart of the father before he saw his son and before he embraced his son. It already started. Get it now. The compassion came before the confession. Now, how many of you listen to me say amen? The compassion came before the confession. You know what this tells us? It tells us right here that this father's heart, though it had been shattered to a million pieces, what of his heart he did have left, he guarded. He did not allow hate. He did not allow bitterness to step in, get into his heart. That would have destroyed the rest of it. Listen to me. Just because you've been hurt doesn't mean you have to hate. Just because you've been broken and you've been battered doesn't mean that you've got to be bitter. Doesn't mean that at all. You've got to realize the fact you, sir, are the God-ordained leader of the home. Why should you expect that child to get right if you are not right? Bitterness from one party or another is one of the primary things that is holding households and relationships back from having full reconciliation. No matter how badly we feel that they have done us wrong, how badly we feel that we have been hurt by this, if we get bitter and if we get hateful over it, we are just as bad and in many cases worse than what they may have ever done to us in the very beginning, because we are showing the attributes of Satan himself. And we'll learn that tonight if you'll come back to church. And that's what we see happening. His father, he wrapped his heart up in as many cushions as he possibly could. He picked up every piece that he could. And he was careful to build a hedge around his heart to make sure hate and to make sure bitterness did not get back into there. There had to be compassion on the part of the father, that God-ordained leader of the home, before there could ever be a confession on the part of the son. The soil of compassion had to be prepared before the seed of confession could ever be planted. The Spirit of God had to be working both ways. He had to be working in the heart of the offended, and he had to be working in the heart of the offender, because reconciliation will come no other way. You may be sitting here right now and you may say, that son, that daughter, they have done me as wrong can be, and they are going to have to take the first step. No, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me right now. God has responsibility in it for your heart. Hatred and bitterness cannot swell up in you. In this Bible example, the parent, the father right here, he had to make sure that his heart was ready and willing with compassion before his son could ever even make one move. Before his son could ever come with a confession. Had the son sought confession before the father's heart was ready with compassion, the father would have given the I told you so story. The father would have condemned him. The father would have responded the wrong way. The father could have rejected it, and he could have ruined any chance whatsoever of having reconciliation in that family. You see, God may be working in the heart of that one that has offended you, that child that has offended you. God may be working on their heart right now. But the one thing that's holding it back is the fact you're not allowing God to give you a heart of compassion to receive that confession when it comes your way. Nothing will ever happen until compassion meets confession. But compassion must always lead the way. This was a homecoming of compassion. It was a homecoming of confession. But that led to a homecoming, a celebration, didn't it? I'm just going to mention, as a matter of fact, Brother Tim, you can come on the piano. I'm finished. Would you look at verse 22, and I'll just read this to you. The Bible says, but the father said to his servants, hey, bring forth the best robe. I want you to go out and you get everything that we were about to sell to the Brooks Brothers retailers. And you bring it on out right now. He says, you put a ring on his finger. I want you to go get everything you were going to sell to Zales. And you bring the best. And then I want you to go and I want you to kill the cow that we were going to send to the Ruth Chris Steakhouse. And I want you to bring that. We're about to have a party. A celebration, the Bible says, my son that was gone, my son that had left me, he's back home again. We're going to be merry. We're going to be eating, having a celebration. Here was a father whose heart, it was totally shattered in pieces. Discouraged, depressed, didn't know how he was going to move forward and face another day, make the decisions that had to be made. But God put it all back together because he was unstoppable. He kept a stable household. He had a steadfast hope that he would one day have a satisfying homecoming. Though his heart had been shattered. A little boy was frightened by a thunderous lightning storm one night. He called out to his father. He said, "Daddy, come, I'm scared." The father said, "God loves you, son. He'll take care of you." To which the son replied, "I know God loves me, but right now I just need somebody with some skin on." All of you daddies, all of you mamas, all of you parents, you look at me. Do it right now. It is the job of a father. It is the job of a mother to demonstrate God to their children, and to be the skin that comforts them and holds them all together. No matter how old they are, no matter how bad they've been, how horrible the circumstances may be, I wonder today how many relationships remain broken because of bitterness, because of hate. I wonder how many today's fathers will be here that just simply say, "I'm tired of that. I don't want to meet God one day with this in my heart. I'm going to be unstoppable." In our story, we see the perfect example of a father who could say, "Though I don't know how I'm going to move forward, I choose to be an unstoppable father." I wonder how many of us today will say the same. Bow your head with me for just a moment.